This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I'm ready tonight. I'm excited. I need to know if you are ready to pursue a dream tonight, if you are ready to pursue a promise from God. I'm serious. We need to fill this room with a little bit of energy right now. So if you are ready to pursue something, here we go. All right. We will put that to the test tonight, but first I need to take you back to a day that I had in college. Actually, many days over I had in college. I was broke in college. Most college kids are, unless you grew up in the Woodlands and then it's great. Well, I was a college kid and I had a $5 bill. That's it. All that I had, no money in a checking account, no anything. And Taco Bell just sounded so good. It's like I got my last $5. And I know I have food in my dorm room, ramen noodles and hot dogs and everything, but there's just something about Taco Bell that makes it so much more valuable than this $5. So you pull into the drive-thru and you get to the ordering and you order your beefy five-layer burrito and your Doritos Locos tacos and your nacho cheese chalupa. I know there are some of you in here that know what I'm talking about. And then they tell you at the window that's going to be $7.05. And you're like, dang, Taco Bell raised their prices. Got news for you. They didn't raise their prices. You're getting bigger. Your diet is helping you pay more at Taco Bell. So what do you do? I'll tell you what I did. At that point, you got a $5 bill and it's $7.05. You start digging. You start digging in that ashtray is where you start, and you start looking through that ashtray and you find four quarters and you're up to $6 and you're looking around the line and you see there's three cars before you got to get up there to pay. So you got a little more time to dig, and you start in the cup holders and you start looking through the cup holders and you find 5 dimes and then you're at $6.50. Am I the only person that's been broke trying to pay for fast food with some change in the car? I mean, am I the only guy that's been there? So you're digging. You're digging for those coins, and then you find 10 nickels. They're just there, and you got $7. You're the next car in line, and you need 5 cents, and you keep digging. This is where I don't understand why on earth they made the console in the center so close to the seat. You can't get your hand in there. I mean, I'm like, car manufacturers, would 1 inch hurt you that much to where I can get by, because I can see those pennies down there, and I'm like, I know there's a couple, and I can feel it with the tip of my finger, and I can start sliding them out there. Then they're on the mat. You reach down, get them off the mat, lift up the mat. There's the last one, $7.05, and you go, you pay for your meal, you get your food because you kept digging. Tonight is one of those nights you're going to have to dig a little bit. You're going to have some digging to do tonight. And here's what you need to know. You need to know you got a little more left. You've got a little more left in you. You may think you don't have more left in you. You have more in you tonight. I need you to help me with something. Come on. If we're gonna have something happen tonight, we got to get involved with this word. So I need you to stand to your feet. I need you to stand up. If you are able, I need you to stand up. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Stand up. I need you to stretch your hands to the sky. Stretch them up as high as you can get them. Come on, reach as high as you can get them. Get them up there. Get them up there. Hold them up there. Now, here's what I need you to do. Stretch them out as high as you can. Now, do me a favor. Give me 2 more inches. Come on, give me, yes! Yes! Sit down, you may be seated. Can I tell you, I honestly wish you could see what I just saw. I wish you could see what I just saw. I saw a room full of people that thought they had given it everything that they had, that thought they were as stretched out as they were, but they found out they have a little bit more in them. They found out they have a little bit more in them than what they thought. They thought they were stretched out, but they realized you got a little bit more in you. You are going to have to dig tonight, and you are going to have to realize you have the ability to dig because you have a little bit more in you. Now, are we ready to pursue a dream? Let's pursue a promise tonight. The makings of a promise start in 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17. If you have your Bibles, open to 2 Kings chapter 4. That's where we'll spend the rest of the evening. 2 Kings chapter 4, start in 8 through 17. It says, one day Elisha was a prophet. A prophet in this time was seen as a representation of God. It was the voice of God. The prophet brought God to the people. So one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. If you want to experience the promises of God in your life, you got to make a little bit of room for God. You have to make a little bit of room for him. She's making a little bit of room for him to show up. Verse 11, one day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. Verse 12, he said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her. When she appeared, verse 13, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? What's your dream? What's the promise you're looking for? What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied. My family takes good care of me. Later, Elijah asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son and her husband is an old man. Verse 15. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she replied. Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. The prophet touched something here. It's amazing. Sometimes you can have a promise in your heart and you want that promise so bad, you desire that promise so bad that sometimes you begin to suppress it over time because it hurts so bad to talk about. I have a friend who they couldn't have children, and someone would come up to them and we'd be standing together and they would say to them, when are you guys going to have kids? And I'd think, don't say that. That's a promise that they have, but it hurts so bad to talk about. That's where she is. There's a promise buried so deep in her that when he asked her about it, she had all but given up on it, and it just stung a little bit. I told you we're going to have to do a little digging tonight, right? There is a promise in you, for some of you, and it's so deep down in there that you've pushed it away and you've lowered your expectations because waiting for it for so long has hurt a little bit. That's where she's at. Elisha says, you're going to have a child. And she said, my Lord, don't go there. Don't tell me that. Verse 17, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Ask yourself, what is that dream tonight? What is that promise tonight that the Lord has given you? Let me give you three things really quick to not let stop you from chasing the dream that God's given you. Number one is this, don't let time stop you. It's not too late, you're not too old, and God is not finished with you. Do not let time stop you from pursuing the promise that the Lord has placed in you. Remember, this was an older lady with an older husband. The time for bearing child for children was gone, and she's saying, don't go there. I'm not ready. Don't allow time to stop you from pursuing the promise God has given you. Number two, don't let shame stop you. Don't let shame stop you from pursuing what God has placed in you. This barrenness was a sign of humiliation in those days. It was a sign of God's punishment against you, not allowing you to have a child to carry on your husband's name and legacy. So there was a huge amount of shame with her barrenness. Don't let shame stop you from what God's put inside of you. Don't let what has happened in your past keep you from fulfilling the promise that God has for you because you're so worried that this is going to hold this back. Don't allow shame to stop what God has put inside of you. Three, don't let doubt stop you. Could her answer, my Lord, don't go there. Please don't get my hopes up and deceive me. Don't let doubt stop you from pursuing what God has for you. So we start up We've got the dream. She has the baby. We have the dream. 2 Kings 4, 17 through 20. It says, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. We just read that. Verse 18. One day when the child was older, he went out to help his father who was working with the harvesters. Let me just tell you something. The enemy always attacks at harvest time. If you're under attack right now, that's really good news. There's a harvest coming for you. The Lord has something for you if you're under attack right now. And he's out with the harvesters. And then verse 19, suddenly he cried out, my head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to one of the servants, carry him home to his mother. Verse 20, so the servant took him home and his mother held him on her lap, but around noontime he died. The dream that had died in her heart had a little bit of life to it, and now it died in her arms. There are some people in here who had a dream in their heart, had a promise in their heart, and saw a little bit of life to it, and now you feel like that life is gone and it's dying in your arms. You had a promise about having a great marriage, and you saw a little bit of life to that promise, and now you feel like that promise is dying in your arms. You had a promise about healing, and you've been praying and trusting God for healing, and the longer it's taken, the longer you feel like that promise could be just dying in your arms. You have a promise about your child, that you're believing for your child. You're trusting God for your child, and you saw a little bit of life of it, but then all of a sudden your child decided to go crazy, and you're sitting there feeling like that promise is dying in your arms. I have news for you. We serve a Savior who defies death. I said we serve a Savior who defies death. Amen. We serve a Savior who is greater than the grave. The cross could not stop him. If we are alive tonight, our promise from God is alive. If he can rise, we can rise. But you have to realize you've got a little bit more left in you to pursue it. I don't know if we're ready to pursue a dream tonight. Are we ready to pursue what the Lord has? Because I'm telling you, this is just the introduction. This is about to get really, really good. Let's jump in and see what the Lord has for us. So we have the dream, and the dream has died in her arms. The promise has died in her arms. Look at this, 2 Kings 4, 21 through 22. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. She didn't want it. Then she got pregnant with it. She carried it. She had it. And now she won't let anything stop it. First thing you have to decide tonight is you're not going to quit on the promise that God's given you. You're not going to quit on the promise that the Lord's filled your heart with. You're not going to quit on the word that you have for him. You're not going to quit on the dream that he's birthed inside of you. You will always have multiple opportunities to quit on the promise that God has given in your heart. You'll have multiple opportunities to, but we've got to decide that nothing is going to stop us. Nothing is going to make us quit on the promise that God has given us. Nothing's gonna stop us in the dream, pursuit of the dream that the Lord has for us. I mean, there was a video on YouTube. It was a woman who, it was in Florida, at a gas station in Florida. She got out of her car and she went to fill her car up with gas. And when she did, a guy jumped in the front seat. He was a carjacker and he was gonna take her car. This mom, Dukes of Hazzards, over the hood, reaches inside the door before he gets it closed, gets this punk by the back of his sweatshirt, jerks him out of that car, takes him and rolls him across the pavement. And then she's posted up. She's there, come back. She say, I got more fight in me than you know. I got more fight in me than you. And he's running along. He's all bewildered. But she, you thinking about, oh, she must have really liked that car. It had nothing to do with the car. Her children were in the back of the car. Her kids were back in there. And you don't take mama's promise. Do we have some moms in the house tonight? Moms. Moms. When you have prayed for something and you have created something inside of you, and you have carried it, and then you have birthed it, and then you have stayed up all night changing its diapers, You've fed it. You've cared and loved it. You've left work early when it was sick to pick it up, bring it home, and nurse it to health. You've worked multiple jobs to provide for it. Let me ask you, nothing is going to take that from you. Am I right? Let me hear the spirit of a mom real quick. You need to pursue God's promise in your life with that same spirit. You need to pursue the dream that he's placed in you with that same spirit. Some of you men, you need to have the spirit of a mama about the dream that God's given you. You need to have the spirit of a mama about the promise he's given you about your marriage. You need to have the spirit of a mama about the promise he's given you about your family, about your children, about your business, about your calling. You need to have the spirit of a, you need to let go of the spirit of quit, this spirit of giving up, and you need to have the spirit of mama. About this mom, there was nothing that was gonna convince her to quit on the promise that God has given her. There is nothing that will stop us from the promise that God has placed within us. Next, 2 Kings 4, 23 through 26. Oh, I love this one. Why go today, he asked. It is neither new moon festival nor a Sabbath. Those were the only two times you went to see a priest or a prophet. But she said, listen to this, it will be all right. Verse 24, so she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. As soon as she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. You've got to breathe life into your dream. You have got to breathe life into the promise. You've got to speak faith into this promise that the Lord has given you. You've got to talk about it. You've got to talk to it. You've got to dream about it, and then you've got to fill it full of faith. Your dream may be dead in the natural, but the Lord's not done with it in the supernatural, and you've got to keep speaking faith into it to keep it alive. You got to speak his word into it to keep it alive. I read a story about a young man who, it was a child who was born with autism. He was brilliant, as most children on the spectrum are, but he was nonverbal and he had major sensory issues. So nonverbal, he could not communicate, and sensory issues, he couldn't handle being in an environment, an overwhelming, overstimulating environment. And so his parents were Christians, they were believing for healing, and they would write verses on a note card for this child, and they would read these verses out loud over this child. They were speaking the word of God into this child. And so years and years and years went by, this child, 7 years old, he's up in his room playing one day, and the mom said she heard something, and it kind of scared her a little bit because he doesn't speak. She thought someone was in his room. So she ran up, she looked into his room, and he's sitting in the corner of his room, and he's talking. She said she got a little closer and she listened to him, and he was reciting word for word those verses she had been pouring into him. She said verses from years ago that she was speaking into him. He was saying to himself now, the faith you speak into your promise now will come out in the fulfillment later. The faith that you are speaking right now in your promise is going to come out in the fulfillment later. I had a dream at 18 to be a preacher. Imagine that. The Lord got a hold of my heart as a young teenager, and then at 18 at a youth camp, he called me. I felt it so hard on my heart to be a preacher. And I used to drive this old beat up S10 pickup truck, and I would preach to myself. I'd sit in that truck. I would preach and I'd preach and I'd get so lost. I had no idea where I was. I'd drive for hours preaching to myself. I'd lead myself to Jesus like 5 or 6 times. And then I would preach. I'd be preaching so good to myself. I'd start amening myself. Amen, amen. And then I'd have a word from, I'd say, oh, you want an amen? I got a word for you now too. And I'd just go back at myself again over and over and over in my truck by myself, dreaming one day to be a preacher. And now this is so much more than I could have ever imagined. Seeing the promise come together, seeing what was birthed. I'll tell you, we got a little bit of time here. The first sermon I ever preached was not to a crowd like this. It was to a crowd of middle schoolers at a youth camp in the morning. Can I tell you something? You know. The worst crowd to preach to on the face of the planet is a group of middle schoolers. They have the attention span of a golden retriever. They, half of them, like, there's such a polar difference. You say party, and half of them are thinking cone hats and kazoos. The other halves are thinking drinking alcohol for the first time. And then the other ones are like, oh, I don't know, party. It's just crazy. And you know what I did? I walked onto that stage. I grabbed that microphone. I lined them up and I knocked them down. I just kept preaching at them and preaching and preaching because I saw the Lord fulfilling the promise that he placed in me. Now, let me just tell you something real quick. There is a huge difference in a plan and a promise. A plan can generally be your expectation of God's fulfillment of his promise. And can I tell you something? You can be wrong. Plans can go wrong. The plan I had, preaching in my truck, preaching at a middle school, did not have me landing in Conroe, Texas. The plan I had did not have that. But the promise was that the Lord would mature me into a preacher, that the Lord would give me an opportunity to share his word. And the promise being fulfilled is so much, I am so grateful to be here. This is such a crazy opportunity. I mean, I think small town kid from Spring Hill, Kansas, couldn't rub two nickels together, gets the opportunity to share the word of God. But it's because a promise that he placed in me came true. My plan didn't, don't get too much faith in your plan. Your plan can change. A lot of times the plan changes. The promise remains the same because the promise is from the Lord. Let's keep going here. This gets even better. 2 Kings 4, 27 through 30 says, but when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Verse 28. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Can I tell you something real quick? You realize something? She didn't share her problems with people who couldn't help her. She wasn't talking about her problems to the people that came out. She said, everything's going to be fine. Everything's good. Child's good. Family's good. But when she gets before the Lord, she shares what she needs to share. Verse 29. Then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel, take my staff and go. I love this part. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. Verse 30, but the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha returned with her. She says, over my dead body, will I go home without you coming with me? It wasn't about what he was going to do. It was about the Lord's presence being in the middle of it. Watch this. 2 Kings 4, verse 31. Remember what Elisha's first answer was. Elisha's answer was, Gehazi, grab my staff, put it on that kid's face. Don't talk to anybody. Get going. 2 Kings 4, 31 says, Gehazi hurried on ahead of them and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him the child is still dead. She was convinced she had to keep the Lord in the center of the promise that she said, over my dead body, will I go there without the presence of God coming with me? You have got to keep the presence of the Lord. You have got to keep the Lord in the center of the promise that he's given you. You can't allow things to pull you away from that promise. You can't allow things to distract you from that promise. I'll share it to you like this. We have a little pool that we bought to put in my backyard for my daughter. It's one of those little above ground pools, like a 10-foot circle. It's this big circle. She loves it. She's crazy about it. And I get in there with her and I walk real fast. We create a whirlpool, create this circle. And once it gets going, you know, it's really whipping around there and all the toys get caught up in it. And you can see all the toys spinning around. And then she's in this floaty and she gets caught in it. So she's whipping around this circle and whipping around. And then she recognized something. She's such a smart kid. This whirlpool is just whipping her around, but she fought her way into the center of it. Now, I don't know if you've ever stood in the center of a whirlpool, but there was no pull on her. She's standing there watching all of this stuff go around her, but when she got into the center of it, there was nothing pulling her in the wrong direction. When you get the Lord in the center of the promise that he has for you, stress is no longer pulling on you. Anxiety is no longer pulling on you. Doubt is no longer pulling on you. Fear is no longer pulling on you. When you get the Lord in the center of the promise that he has for you, that pull is no longer there, and you can stand rooted in the promise that he has given you. You need to grab a hold of the Lord and put him right in the center of the promise that he's placed in your life and the word that he has spoken to your life, and you'll be able to walk it through. Watch how this wraps up. Man, you talk about a climactic ending. 2 Kings 4, 33 through 36 says, when Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. Verse 33, he went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed. Did you catch that? He went in alone. Imagine being that mom for a second with your child dead inside that room and him going in there and shutting the door behind him. He goes in there alone, prayed to the Lord. Verse 34, then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Verse 35, Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Verse 36, then Elisha summoned Gehazi. Call the child's mother, he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. Once you have carried it, once you have birthed it, once you have prayed all you can pray, you've believed all you can believe, you've placed him in the center of it, there's only one thing left to do. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. Get out of the way. Get out of the room. It's amazing. We sometimes make God's promise to us about us. The resurrection of her promise didn't even have her in the room with it. You may not even have to be around for God to do what he's going to do. It may just happen, and you may show up and you may see it one day and be like, wow, I've been praying like this forever and I didn't even get to see it start, but I'm going to jump in and I'm going to experience it now. We got to get out of the way and just let God be God. I went through a really difficult time in my life early on, years and years ago. And my mom, in this time, she gave me a spiral notebook and a pen. And she said, son, I just want you, just journal. Just write down what your next steps are. Just write down what's next for you. Try to figure it out, write it down. I remember sitting in bed, I had this blank notepad and this pen, and I had no idea. That's a scary place to be. I had no idea. I had a promise in my heart. I felt like it was dying. And I had no idea what to even write down. It's like, I have no idea what my next step is. I have no idea where to go with this. I have no idea what to do with this. And then the Lord hit me like a ton of bricks and said, Luke, that's been your problem, is you've tried to map your own path. Just let God be God. Quit trying to make a 5-year plan. Quit trying to make a 10-year plan. Quit trying to make all of these plans and plans and plans, and just trust in the promise that I've placed in you. Fast forward to last night, I get home. I pull up to my driveway and my wife and my kids are in the car. The windows are down. The music's blaring. I just got done working. I walk up. My wife says, get in. It's family date night. Surprise family date night on a Tuesday night. I was like, okay, where are we going? Jumped in there. We went. We had such a great time. Went home. Took my daughter upstairs. Put her to bed. Play with my son, rolled him across the floor back and forth. It looks like a little bowling ball. Play with my son. And I had this message in my spirit. I had this let God be God in my spirit. And I looked at my wife and I said, can you believe what God has done? Can you believe what he's put together? Can you believe what he's made happen? It's because we let God be God. We just felt a promise from him. We didn't quit on that promise. Didn't let go of that promise. We breathed life into that promise. We kept the Lord in the center of that promise and then just let God be God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We lift you up. We exalt you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have placed in our hearts. We thank you for the goodness of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust in the promises that you have given us because you are the fulfiller of our desires. If you're in here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can't live out the promise God has for you until you have Jesus inside of you. You've got to have Jesus in your heart to live out the promise that he's placed before you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here and you're saying, I really want to live out those promises, but I don't know what the next step is, I can tell you this, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus as Savior. It's Jesus as Lord. If you're in here and you're ready to turn your life over to Christ, you're ready to make him Lord of your life with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in here tonight, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to shoot your hand up as testimony of it. You're in here, you have a promise, but you don't know what direction to go. It starts with Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. When I get to three, shoot your hand up saying, yes, I am ready to follow Jesus tonight. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up all over the room. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm starting with Jesus, and I'm going to believe for a promise. I'm going to walk in a promise. I'm going to see the fulfillment of the promise that God has for me. But first things first, I need Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Those of you that raised your hand, I'm going to lead all of them. I'm going to invite the church family to join with us, but we're going to pray to solidify the commitment you just made to trust in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to invite you, as you pray this with me, understand the commitment, the change that is happening in your life. I'm going to invite all of us to pray together. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, I want to close a little different tonight. I want to ask you tonight, if you're in here tonight and you got a promise in your heart, you've got a dream that the Lord's given you. It could be years ago or it could have dropped in there tonight. If you're believing God for the fulfillment of a promise in your life, I want you to slip your hand up tonight. I want to pray with you. If you're in here, you got a promise from God. You've got a promise for your marriage. You've got a promise for your family. You've got a promise for your purity. You've got a promise for your sobriety. You've got a promise from God, and you're ready to see that walk out and fulfill with your hand up. You're in here tonight. You're ready to see. You've got a calling on your life, and you want to see the fulfillment of that calling. You've got a desire within you, and the Lord's given you a promise about it. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to join together, and we're going to believe for fulfillment. Lord, I lift to you every hand in here, every dream in here, every promise that you have dropped into the hearts of people in here tonight. And Lord, we speak faith into it. We believe it's going to come to pass. We put you in the center of it, Father. We're going to let you be you, and we're going to walk in the plans that you have for us, not the plans that we create for ourselves. And Father, we are going to rejoice together at the fulfillment of the promise that you have filled us up with. Thank you, Jesus, that we can dig deep, we can grab a hold of what you've given us, and we can see fulfillment of it in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. Amen and amen. Everybody said, amen. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.